Swedish Air Force was suspended from the rafters high above their heads. Cartagena looked up, incredulous. Did they really used to fly that stuff? It was a scheduled flight, departing on time, not always what was expected at this time of year, but in any event it wouldn't have mattered very much to the outcome. The men of evil intent who were waiting for it were already in position. It had been a makeshift affair, organised at the last minute. The three men had hired the boat the previous day at Amoden on the Dutch coast, an Aquabelle 33-footer, a fishing boat with its cabin up front, substantial deck aft, and 300 horsepower diesels that could get it out of trouble in the push of a throttle. It had been hired with few words and only the most cursory inspection of the three men's paperwork. As soon as they got on board, it was clear to the owner they knew how to handle it, and any lingering doubts he might have entertained were buried beneath the substantial wad of euros they produced. Although the strange box object in its canvas shroud that was lugged on board had nothing to do with fishing. Most likely a drugs run, he reckoned, or perhaps people smuggling, dropping Middle Eastern filth off on some deserted stretch of East Anglia. He couldn't care less, not at almost double his usual rate, and in a bundle of cash that was already forming a bulge in his pocket. If the British couldn't keep an eye on their own coastline, why the hell should he lose sleep? He scratched his crotch and hurried off to the nearest bar. Now the three men waited anxiously, the boat turning into the swell of the North Sea, keeping station beneath the flight path. On another night, and in a less chaotic world, they would have taken more time, employed more sophisticated equipment to track the plane, but they had to make do with an iPhone loaded with a plane finder app. Yet it was a remarkable tool. Press a button and tiny red icons began creeping across a map with the details and destinations of almost every commercial flight in the air, including their call signs, flight paths, positions, heights, speeds. Everything in real time, and all a terrorist in a hurry would need. As they waited, they unwrapped their cargo from its polystyrene shroud, checking and rechecking every part of the gear they had brought on board. They had spent wisely. The shoulder-held surface-to-air missile they had acquired was the latest Russian model, an SA-24 Grinch, one of the best in the business, its sophistication so simple that operating it was easy enough even for ragheads. One as a spotter, the other the shooter. And, as they waited, on their tiny iPhone screen, the red marker of Speedbird 235 began its crawl across the map towards them. The Airbus was climbing, its twin CFM engines burning 83 litres of fuel a minute through the crystal air of the winter night. Soon they were crossing the coast, slightly to the south of Ostend, and even as they passed into the dark embrace of the North Sea, the pilots could see the gentle glow of the English coast more than 60 miles away. The flight would be short, a little over the hour, cruising at 22,000 feet before descending and flying almost directly west along the Thames estuary and across London to Heathrow. "God's light," the captain whispered as the lights of the English coast began to emerge on the horizon like 1,000 candles being waved in greeting. On a night like this, a man could gaze all the way to heaven. Carl was a family man. 4 teenage girls, and crammed into the aft hold was a bulging bag full of presents he'd grabbed in a frantic half-hour through the crew duty-free at Brussels. Every year as they grew older, the struggle to find something they appreciated got more difficult, but he didn't complain. All too soon they would be gone. Damn. It was the last flight of the day, the milk run. There were 108 passengers on board, 2 pilots and 5 hosties, making a total of 115 on the manifest. The hosties, cabin crew, were moving down the aisle serving the boxes of antiseptic sandwiches and snacks that passed as in-flight refreshment. The napkins had dreary motifs of holly printed on them, the sole concession the PC Brigade at corporate headquarters had made to the festive season. So the hosties had retaliated and were